good evening. Good to see all of you here. Good to see all the kids that came in tonight. Good to have visitors here with us on a Wednesday night. Thank you for being with us. If you're visiting here, we're glad that you're here. Brother Corn, I saw that girl giving you the evil eye. You didn't have a coin to give her. She stared at him all the way over there. I felt a little sorry for him. I was going to run down and give him a coin, but I didn't even bring my wallet in. Good to have the Corns with us. Pray for Miss Joy. She's over with the babies. Little Carson's not feeling well tonight. And pray that you'll get back on the mend. And this is the t-shirt that the youth group put together. They tried to match it to the wall behind me here. And so if you want one, please see my wife afterwards. I sell them for $27.50. She got them for $10. So tells you where to go. So wherever you want to go, get it. We'll take $27.50, but she'll take $10 there as well. And it goes towards the youth fund. And that'll be a big help if you want to get one of those. And please, if you can help, if you have been background checked and you're part of the nursery crew and can help Friday night, we need 9 ladies. That will give us 3 per shift, so it's not a lot of stress. And they'll rotate you in and out as quick as we can. If you post bond, you get out early. So if you're in first one, like you're the first group, if you want to donate $100 to the youth group, then we'll swap out real quick with you. No, I'm kidding. We do need some help. So if you are have been background checked and you're able to do nursery work Friday night, that would be a big blessing. See my wife, let her know, and say, Pastor, I'd like to, but I hadn't got my background done. Well, if you see me tonight, I'll give you the form and I'll run your background tomorrow. That's not a problem. But you have to have your background checked before we put you in there. We'd like the help. So there'd be 3 per, and I don't want to use our teen helpers because this is an event for them. So please help if you can with that. That'd be a big, big blessing there. All right, let's see. I'll talk a little bit after church. I'll get into the Word of God real quick. Let's go to Galatians 5, Galatians chapter 5. Be in prayer for Brother Corn. Not only is he with us Friday night, but Saturday he's going downtown Orlando. Last year had close to 300 kids. It's an outdoor Bible club that he'll be presenting the ministry to up there and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, downtown Orlando. And then back with us Sunday, and then again over at Dr. Phillips Monday night. So be in prayer for him. He's got a big, a lot of stuff to do in a little bit of time starting Friday. So be in prayer for him and his family. Galatians 5 and verse number 1. Galatians 5, verse number 1. The Bible says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Stand fast in the liberty. As I contemplated and thought about this, I thought about folks that I've read about in the scripture. I've never met someone personally, just so I can tell you that. I've never met a devil-possessed person personally. I've read about them in scripture, and from scripture I can see that they do and must do exactly like that demon or those demons inside of them desires. They control. They don't have a choice in the matter. Well, how do you know? Because none of us throw ourselves in fire. So, you know, there's a fire there and the demons would make them throw there. You know, all of us are sitting around here clothed in our right mind. That demon in the cemetery, I don't think nobody has a home in the cemetery here. If you do, let us know. We can move you out. But that's not normal. And they do it because they're controlled. But we have a greater power than that living within us if we're saved. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. We have greater. And it's amazing. This great God, this God of all power. I mean, for over 6,000 years, the sun has rose up in the east and sit down in the west. The universe has stayed its course, kept its circuit, and just stayed its course. This is, I'm talking about because of God. All things consist by him. That's what Scripture says, Colossians 1, and I think 17. Everything, the oceans and the waters of the world, they only do. We've been, you know, looking for rain. Sometimes I feel like I'm Elijah out here looking for a hand in the sky here lately. You know, is it going to rain yet? Is it going to rain? It don't rain until God says it's going to rain. You know, he's in control of all this. Yet, that same God lives within us and gives us liberty. We're not robots. This is such an amazing truth to me. He says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Now, he can turn us into robots. When he saved us, he moves inside, and this powerful God, this sovereign God, the God of the universe, and everything was created for his pleasure and for his to do. And he gave such a price for us. His only begotten Son died a horrible, shameful death on the cross of Calvary for you. At the moment he saved you, it could be like he just switches a switch in your head and you just do. You're a robot. You rise up early in the morning and you get down on your knees and you pray. You get into the Word of God every day. Noontime comes around. Maybe you'd go find a quiet place and you just spend some time in prayer. There's examples, morning, noon, and night about prayer. That's, you know, pray without ceasing. You'd get the Bible, would be just like the Bereans. We just search the Scriptures. I mean, constantly on our break, you know, we'll wake up from a dream in the night because we've been dreaming about Scriptures that we've meditated. We said, man, I've got to write that down in the middle of the night, you know. Those are good things. You know, God could have made it where we must be like that. That when church time rolled around, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, it was just like you had no choice in the matter. You just leave work. Where are you going? Church. Going to church. 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 But it's not like that. It's a free choice. Because if it was by force, by the powerful God that we serve, we would not hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. It would be just part of what we are. But he says here, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. You have this... the sinful nature of the flesh on the one hand, and you have the powerful God that lives within you on the other hand, and he says, make a choice. How many times do we choose that wrong? How many times do we choose the wrong way? And yet he still loves us in Christ. And he's telling us here, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty. There's different. You have the liberty to do whatever you desire. You didn't have to come here tonight. You made a choice to please God by assembling together. You didn't have to get up and go to work today. Now, I'm not saying you wouldn't have a job. You'd have a job this evening. But you didn't have to. You made a choice. If you study, you know, you meditate a little bit on Scripture today, you spent some time in prayer, that was by choice. You made that choice. Quit looking at all the negative, bad choices you've made, because that's where the devil wants to keep your eye, on your faults and failures. But our faith is our victory, and we need to keep our eyes upon Christ, because that is where we have power and strength to overcome, through Christ. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty. You have heard it, and I've heard it. It's been said, Christians can't do that. Well, that's not true. Look at Lot. The Bible says it vexed Lot's righteous soul to live in such a way. You'll be miserable. You'll have no relationship with God. You'll have no prayer line. You'll have no helping hand. You'll have no ear to hear, because your iniquity and your sin has clogged up his ear and shortened his hand. You have the liberty to live as you please. That is an excuse to choose to do wrong. Choose to do right. Stand fast in the liberty. In other words, you've got to make a decision. Just like you decided to come tonight, you make a decision. When temptation is presented and sin is presented before you, make a decision. Yes, no. Yes, you make a decision. Some of the couples, I've noticed that sometimes I see the man driving, sometimes I see the lady driving. No set thing. When we get in the car at my house, I'm getting up there in the driver's seat. I don't care if it's 55 hours straight we drive. I'll be like wide awake. Oh, my wife said, "Hun, just let me drive a little bit." No. Get me some coffee. Get me some. I've made that decision. I'm driving. Some of you made the decision that doesn't matter. This one drive, that one drive. I get nervous driving up from the parsonage to the church my wife drives. She drives much better than I do, I'll be honest with you. She does. But we make a decision to stand fast in the liberty where Christ has, where Christ has made you free. You got to make that decision. Look with me, 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians 16. Verse number 11. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 11. The scripture says here, 16:11, 1 Corinthians 16:11, "Let no man therefore despise him, but conduct him forth in peace, that he may come unto me, for I look for him with the brethren. As touching our brother Apollos, I greatly desire him to come unto you with the brethren, but his will was not at all to come at this time. But he will come when he shall have convenient time. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong." Just like you make a choice, a decision to stand fast in the liberty, you're going to have devotion towards Christ and the things of God to stand fast in the faith. The sands of doctrine, men's doctrine, are a slippery slope. You got to stand fast upon the doctrines of the Word of God. Stand fast, watch ye, and stand fast in the faith. Jude talks about contending for the faith, a faith that was once delivered unto the saints. Jude, I think, verse 3. Stand fast in the faith. Have devotion towards the things of God. It's a precious thing to be in the house of God and around the things of God, and to be used in the way of God, in the house of God for God's purpose and pleasure. God has set things apart for Himself. For instance, if you was to go back and study in the book of Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar had come and ransacked the nation of Israel and carried off certain of the people, some of the good kids and godly kids and wise kids, and some ransacked the house of God and carried off the temples, the tools that was used inside the temple, goblets and brass and spoons and snuffers and things. And he brought it and he put it inside the storehouse of his gods. It was like a trophy. That he would put it over there. It caused him some pain. He began to look at all the things that he had done. Before long, he was running around growing claws and feathers. Lost his mind for 7 years. It didn't help his son. His son Belshazzar didn't help him to know what happened. Because when Belshazzar got into power, he was having a great party. And he called and said, look, we're getting a little dull, a little bored around here. Go and bring me the things of the living God and let's use them. And you remember the story? On the wall came the hand. It didn't come until he took the things that were devoted and set apart for God's temple. And he used them a wrong way. The writing on the hand didn't come. If you studied, it was a pretty vulgar type party. It was without getting into detail, it was bad. And God let it be until he started taking the things that were devoted to God's house. You got to have some devotion to the things of God. You go, what? Know you not your body's the temple of God? So the same picture, here's Nebuchadnezzar, he's ransacked, he's taken all this stuff back, he's put it in his storehouse. It just stayed there. And then all of a sudden, years later, it's brought out to be used, time in bondage never relinquishes the devotion of the things of God. He had to pay a price. That night, the kingdom failed. That night. Stand fast in the liberty where Christ has made you free because you are God's. You're not, you've been set free by Christ. Stand fast in the faith because you're God's. You're bought with a price, a precious price. Don't allow yourself. You should be knowing this, that you are set apart. You are different. If you're a child of God, you're on the way to heaven. You're not to be the same as this world. What know you not, amen, in Christ? He is a new creature. When all things pass away and all things become new. You're supposed to be different. Peculiar. And so you're different for a reason. It's so that we can show forth Christ and the goodness of God. And so you're set apart on purpose. Don't allow yourself to be used as an instrument of wickedness. Romans 6 says we're to yield ourselves as a body, as a tool of righteousness. Have devotion. Be devoted to Christ. And your faith. And yourself. Don't allow yourself to be used as a tool of the devil. Because when you're used as a tool of the devil, you shame the name of Christ. You shame the name of Christ. And you should. So you make a decision. I'm going to make the choices to stay in the liberty wherewith Christ has set me free. I'm going to stand fast in the faith. I'm going to have devotion toward the things of God. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians 4, verse number 1. I wanted to cover this tonight. It's just a little word study on stand fast because our theme is unshaken for the youth rally. And so to be unshaken, you have to stand fast. have to have a sure foundation. Philippians 4:1, the Bible says, "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved." Stand fast in the Lord. Dear friend, it's high time that we grow into disciples of Christ. There's not enough. We live in a time of biblical ignorance because we're not disciples of Christ. So you make a decision to stand fast in the liberty. You have devotion to our faith, and we stand fast in the Lord. I remember probably, I want to say, maybe it was 20-something years ago. Lord, hell. How long ago was 1994? Yes, ma'am? 23 years? Yeah, man, alive. We were talking we was outdoor knocking with my pastor one night. I was with him, and we were spending time trying to witness and invite people to church, and we came to a point, a house, and we were speaking with them, and the question came about, where did Cain get his wife? Of all the questions, how does a lost person know? He was more concerned with that argument. It was a diversion, really, is what it was, than the hearing about Christ. We got to get to the point where we want to know more about Jesus than we want to know about our race car team, our soccer team, our fishing and hunting hobbies, our sewing and shopping hobbies. We want to know more about Jesus, even more about Jesus than we know about our spouse. And we should know a whole lot about our spouse. We got to become disciples. We got to stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Why is the challenge there? Because there's some problems that you'll go through in life that only the Lord is going to get you through. Only the Lord. Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 27. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. Philippians 1:27, the Bible says, "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." So you have to make a decision to stand fast in the liberty and have devotion towards the faith. Be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. And dear friend, you need to have direction in unity. When you're striving together, you're going in the same direction. In one spirit, the Bible says, stand fast in one spirit and one mind, striving together. You'll not accomplish anything unless we strive together. Unless the Lord build the house, we are laboring in vain. It's likened to the point where in Genesis, I believe, chapter 10, where Nimrod said, "Let's build us a tower and that we may go up into the heavens." And as they started their building, it was probably a magnificent building until God confounded them, and then they became working against each other. We have to have unity, a direction, going in the same direction. Preacher, what direction Lock Haven's headed in? We're following the head, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where we're headed. If we're not headed where Jesus is headed, dear friend, we're in big trouble. And if that goes for the church, it goes for families. If it goes for families, it goes for husbands. If it goes for husbands, it goes for wives. If it goes for wives, it goes for children. You've got to have direction. How do you have a compass? A good way to go, you know, right there. How many times you set your GPS and it keeps on saying reboot, reset, turn left, turn right, because satellite's out of view or something. You see what's wrong with the world today? There's no moral direction, no moral compass. There's no standard. Every man's doing that which is right in his own eyes. There's no direction. Our direction is found through the scriptures in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have access to the throne of God by Jesus Christ. So the direction we're headed needs to be where Jesus is headed. Your future spouse, if you're looking for a spouse, I would be looking that he or she is headed toward Christ. In the same direction. Same direction. So you got to make a decision to stand in the liberty. You got to have devotion and faith. You got to be a disciple of the Lord. You got to have direction in unity. In unity. Stand fast. I hope that was a blessing to you.